to the Chess Boxing Podcast. Today I'm here with the podcasting team. We've got Zina the technician.
Hello.
And Tim the hippo Woolgar.
Hello.
And it's myself, Gavin Patterson, the GBF. What are we talking about on the podcast today, guys?
After we had our nutrition special the other day, you, Tim, were supposed to come back to us with some information about the avocado stone eating test.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. I've got something for you. I don't know if you did eat the... Did you eat the avocado
yeah,
stone?
Yeah, I did eat the avocado stone.
Yeah, whole. Yes, it whole.
No.
No, what happened was you get the avocado stone out and then you peel it. It's quite difficult to peel. And then it's like this white, rock-hard bullet. You know, you could swallow it whole, but it might be dangerous. So I tried to break it up. It's hard to break. And so I put it in the food mixer and chopped it up a bit. But even that didn't really pulverize it properly.
Didn't they, like, break your food mixer?
No, it broke the avocado pip into about,
you'd think,
20 or 30 pieces.
Plastic bowl, it would just be shooting across and maybe, like...
That's what it was like. It was like a ping pong ball going around, or a golf ball. But anyway, eventually I got enough bits of it and I started to eat, and I ate it.
Was it hard? Was it not?
It's pretty hard. It was chewy. It's kind of chewy and dry. It dries out your mouth. It tastes extremely bitter.
but you were just eating it just in a smaller piece. You didn't look, because I looked it up as well afterwards, and there are options of what you can then do with it once you have it smaller and what you can add to it to make it more
That's something that I object to. You know, we were trying to undertake an experiment. You know, of course, if you go on Google and look it up, you can find out about anything, but that was not in the spirit of the investigation.
Hold on. I before I eat something of which I don't know whether it might or might not be poisoning, I would definitely look it up.
No,
had a verbal contract. That was not the case.
Exactly. Okay. I thought it's quite obviously not poisonous. Otherwise, don't you think that avocados would come with a health warning? Or maybe they wouldn't even be for sale. I don't think you could sell poison.
Perhaps people hadn't anticipated that you know somebody would be foolish enough to do that.
I think you have to anticipate that, yeah. It tastes like you got a really cup of tea that's had a tea bag left in it and you've left it in for way too long.
Yeah,
and then it's gone cold.
I quite like that.
Then it's gone cold. Well, you might like it then. Mm. Yeah,
it's bitter,
really sort of that bitter tannin type.
Okay, I like that. Yeah.
Well, is it anyway? It's in South Africa.
Yeah,
And they've got a lot of avocados, avos in South Africa.
Uh-huh.
So I bought you some avocado oil to save you the trouble. So next time you can just use that to cook with rather than...
Is that for me?
Yeah.
Oh, Gavin.
That's all right.
You're what a great guy.
Well, I say I bought it in South Africa. I tried to buy some, couldn't find any, and then ordered off Amazon. But anyway.
Well, it says South Africa.
Yeah, it is from South Africa. That is more luck than judgment.
Oh, brilliant.
I have to tell you. But yeah, apparently it's really healthy and tasty and good for cooking. Not just for frying, but like actually including...
For salads as well.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Well, maybe I could put it on an avocado.
That might be just too much. Maybe you could put it on a chopped avocado stone.
Yeah.
Well, you want to talk to us about your adventures in South Africa, I thought.
I've been playing a lot of chess with some of our students out there. And not only has Justice been able to get his chess game to a level where he can easily beat me, but he's been training up a few of the other students who are 15 or 16, living in rural South Africa. That he actually organised his own chess tournament in the local town, and he's progressed through to a provincial level.
This is Justice. He's one of the children that benefits from your charity programme from Yellow Brick.
That's correct, yeah.
Which supplies digital reading material for...
Yeah, and e-learning platform as well, like expert video lessons and online testing and that kind of stuff.
For children in Africa?
For sub-Saharan Africa. We've got two projects in South Africa and one in Ethiopia.
Yeah, fascinating.
I don't know if, Zina, you're going to be taking up that challenge, because
what's
the challenge?
Pretty embarrassing, but basically this one of the students, Alan, he challenged you when I was out there. I sent you an audio file. Did you get that?
The challenge.
I'm here with Alan from Imagine Scholar, who's, I wouldn't say he's their chess champion. Would you say so?
No, I'm still an amateur.
Amateur, all right. You're hoping to be professional, are you?
Yeah.
Okay, who's the best in the program, do you think, at chess?
I think it's Justice.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we played maybe four or five games when in Grahamstown, and I think I beat you once, and we had a draw, and then the rest of the time you beat me, maybe two or three times. So I think it's fair to say you're better at chess than me. How long have you been learning chess?
So I think right now it's about a year. So like I took some lessons, like Justice taught me how to play chess last year when I joined Imagine Scholar.
Mm.
So yeah, it's about a year right now.
And how old are you?
I am 15 years of age.
Okay, because I think one of our colleagues back in the UK, Zena the technician, I think, you know, you can beat me. I think you might have a good chance of beating her. What do you think? Would you like to challenge her? Or?
Yeah, I always like to challenge, because I also, like, when I play chess, each and every game of chess, like, you learn something new. So, like, I would like to, like, have a challenge and, like, play with different people and get to know how, like, they play and their strategies.
You know, if you're going to take her on, do you think you're going to have a good chance against her, or do you think she'll be a difficult proposition on the chessboard?
I don't know, but, like, since I believe chess is unpredictable, but I think I might have a good chance of, like, winning the game. Yeah, I think if, like, I get a lot of practice, I can win the game.
The challenge.
Do you think you can give Justice a game? I mean, it could be embarrassing if you lose, though.
It's fine. I think I totally should. Why would I step away from a challenge just because I might lose?
Well, we were talking about in one of the other podcasts, you know, you were watching a small child beat a man at chess. I mean,
I enjoyed that. I was cheering on for, you know, the child. If he wins fair and square, then that is fair enough. I mean, that is embarrassing for me.
It's the way of the warrior. Someone throws down a gauntlet, you accept it, whether it's man, woman or child.
I think it would be quite interesting to talk about how you got into chess boxing and sort of, you know, your background and your career before chess boxing and what led into it. I mean, there must be quite a unique set of circumstances that lead you to being sort of the guy who's made chess boxing popular, you know?
Well, I think that just the coincidence is that chess and boxing were the two sports that I had consciously decided to focus on. The idea was that I wanted to make a return to the ring. Like a lot of people who've had a fight in their life, you know, you always wonder whether you've got another, you know, the capacity to go back and have another fight.
Mm.
You want to do it. It's good. It's enjoyable. So I wanted to do that, but I didn't want to fight white collar, too old for amateurs and not good enough to be a professional. So chess boxing, the idea of having a chess boxing bout seemed perfect. But I needed an opponent. So in order to get an opponent, I had to start a chess boxing club, which I did. And luckily, Islington Boxing Club was very open to the idea.
So were you training there already?
I was already training there, okay. Yeah.
So you had the links there?
Had the links there, and they have the space and they had the time available. So I spoke to them and they said, yeah, give it a, you know, I booked up the upstairs. And then I realised that I had to make an effort to make it popular, so I contacted...
So the first one, it was just you?
No, it wasn't actually, because I was a little bit more organised than that. I phoned around, around all the chess media, people like chess.co.uk and BCM, and contacted chess suppliers everyone was really positive. That's how we met Matt Crazy Arms Reed. He was from chess.co.uk. And and also I contacted people in the gym that I knew, friends who were also training there. I said, would you be interested in coming to the class? We set a launch date. I sent out press releases to local press and local media. Mm. And believe it or not,
they take up.
Yeah, there was a big take up. You know, we had sandwiches.
No wonder there was such a big take up.
We had sandwiches, and we had about four or five local journalists turned up, plus Chess Magazine.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. We had about 10 people who thought it would be cool to try it out, including one person who travelled, you know, about 300 miles. He'd heard about, I don't know how he'd heard about it, actually. I think it must have been something online that he'd seen. And, travelled about 300 miles because he thought, oh, this is interesting. And once it appeared in the local, once that session appeared in the local press, the next thing you know, I was getting calls from the Evening Standard, from ITN local, yeah. And ITN came around and did a piece for their local news, which then got bumped to the news at 10, national news at 10.
Seriously?
Yeah, no, this is true.
Yeah.
And then our local BBC came round, and then we were on the One Show, and it was just like a runaway train, you know, it was unbelievable. Mm. So I realised quite quickly that I had to do, you know, the and it was popular every week,
you people had to coming make along. The most of that coverage.
Yeah, I wanted to make the most of that, so I managed to find an opponent who actually wasn't part, funnily enough, not part of the club, someone from down in Devon, who was a nightclub bouncer / social worker / chess player. And he challenged me to a British heavyweight title fight.
Really?
It's like, you know, the first ever chess boxing fight in the UK.
So how soon was this after you initiated the club?
It was about 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, so that's how I started with chess boxing, and the feedback from the audience was extremely positive, to the point where, you know, we were being asked, when is the next show? We want to come, we want to bring our friends, we want to tell everyone to come. So we did another show about 3 months later, exactly the same outcome, did another one, same outcome, so we then went to a bigger venue, and so it really just snowballed.
Because I went to one of the early shows, and it was about 4 years before I got involved, mm-hmm. at Bethnal Green Workings Main Club. And I vaguely remember...
You went to one of the working men's clubs?
Yeah, yeah, I vaguely remember...
I didn't know that.
It's just before I even lived here, so I lived in South London.
Oh.
And I vaguely remember meeting you, because something was wrong with my tickets or something, and I'd been emailing you, and you said, oh, don't worry, I'll sort it out on the door, and I came there, and you gave me a ticket. But there was... Yeah.
So I just believed you?
No, we'd had emails before, yeah. Like I'd done something wrong.
So we met all those years ago?
Yeah.
And
but there's no reason why you remember me.
And it's funny, that's over-ticketed, no, given that that's now your main task.
Now you...
Yeah, exactly.
Now you mention it, it does sort of faintly ring a bell. I don't know.
Yeah, but I remember going there and thinking, not only was it interesting and great sport, but the venue was so, like, I don't know, gritty and sticky and sweaty.
Yeah.
And it was like everything that it should be for that kind of...
That
event.
Working
really
club is a fantastic
awesome.
Venue, isn't it?
I've been back a few times. Yeah, they just have some like crazy off the wall things there all the time. It's great.
So why did? How did you hear about it then?
I've no idea. I think a friend of mine told me. It's the sort of thing that someone tells you, and it sort of washes over you. But as soon as someone said chess boxing, I was like, that sounds brilliant. I've got to go. So I went, and then I kept thinking I'll go back, and I couldn't convince any of my mates. They said, oh yeah, we'll go and we'll do it, and we never did it until I emailed you, and we ended up doing that show together.
Right.
So I never went to another event after that. But you must have had a diff. What was the venue you moved to after that? Because it wasn't. You didn't go to
Scarlet. Boston Dome in
Boston Dome
in Tufnell Park.
What's that like as a venue?
It's just a bit like the Bethnal Green Working Men's Club. It's a characterful venue, but just a bit bigger. Okay, the next podcast will come up. The next podcast we do will feature results from the show. And we'll maybe do some interviews with the members of the audience and include you in it if you're there.
So
get your tickets, londonchessboxing.com.
But also...
And the date?
2nd of April. But also, when it comes closer to the show, and especially on the show date, I would recommend to keep your eye on something brand new, which is...
Chessboxing.tv!
Yeah!
Ooh.
And it's not necessarily a live stream, but there will be loads of live things.
We'll have all sorts of candid stuff from backstage. We'll have interviews with chess international master Malcolm Payne. We'll be talking to the fighters, the crew, the backup team. Basically, you couldn't get more part of the event without being us.
Well,
really.
And basically, the audience will hopefully post stuff as well. So,
oh yeah,
the
that's right.
Audience
can get involved, put their impressions, post them up onto our site. Yeah, join in, be part
it's
of the
be
show.
An internet melee, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and that's chessboxing.tv, brand new, fresh.
Okay, well then, this is an appropriate moment to draw the podcast to a close. It's goodbye from me, Tim Woolgar.
It's goodbye from me, the grievous bodily farmer.
And goodbye from me.